Kevin asked me to start this morning. He's got a medical appointment in Atlanta that he's actually in his vehicle right now on the way up to, and couldn't lead it today. But my name is Mark Smith, and I serve as chaplain at ITC Holding Company. And we're glad to have you today on the Edge Challenge Call. This happens every Thursday morning. A lot of you joined us yesterday for our breakfast, but I'll go ahead and get into it. I want to start off this morning with a scripture, a Psalm of David. From Psalm 19, 7 through 14, David says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They're sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them, your servant is warned. In keeping them there is a great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins, that they may not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent." I'm sorry. Had to admit someone. "Then I will be innocent of great transgression. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer." Man, what an incredible song. All about the word of the Lord and how much it is, how life-giving it is, and how we are to rely on it, and that our words and the meditation of our heart should be in line with that word. You know, yesterday I was listening to a podcast, and the guest was Dr. Peter Lilback. And I don't know if you've ever heard of him. I had not, but he's a professor at Westminster Theological Seminary in Pennsylvania. And he wrote a biography about George Washington, our first president. So naturally, he was interviewed about that book and about his knowledge of George Washington. And they came upon this one scene in George Washington's life. I mean, we all know the story of the cherry tree and a bunch of different stories. But he settled and spent some time talking about George Washington's inauguration. You know, the oath of the President of the United States can be found in Article 2 of the Constitution. It says simply, "I do solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States, and I will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States." And so George Washington is being inaugurated. He's the very first president, and he puts his left hand on the Bible and his right hand up in the air, and he says every single word of that. And then he says four more words: "So help me God." I want you to picture what's happening here. He is being inaugurated. He's taking the oath of office to become the president of the United States. And when we see the phrase, "So help me God," we tend to think of it like, "So help me God, I'm going to do this." Not him. "I do solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute the office of the President of the United States and will do to the best of my ability to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. So help me God." It's an understanding of what the commitment is, how big the job is, and it's a plea for help, for the help of God. And then, and most people don't know this, as soon as he's done taking the oath of office, he leans down and kisses the Bible. He kisses the Bible. Now, this is a part of oath-taking in early English culture, okay? But with this act, he is saying, "May my mouth and the words that I have just said and the words that I will say be consistent with the high obligation that God gives to me in his word." Which, of course, makes me think of the scripture that I opened us up with today, Psalm 19. David speaking verse after verse about the qualities of scripture. And then ending with, "May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer." Guys, there's several lessons here. Okay, too many to cover, but I just want to cover two real quick. You know, one, the importance of having a love for the scriptures, knowing that they're not an asset for life, but essential to life. George Washington knew that. He wasn't just a deist. He was a Christian. He was a believer. And there's so much proof to prove that. And he understood that, that the biblical scriptures are essential for life, and that what you find between the leather covers give guidance for everything in life. Yesterday, the second lesson, yesterday, many of us were present to hear Horst Schulze. And what a blessing and an honor that was to hear him and be in that room. And if you weren't able to be there, we're going to have the talk up on the Edge website soon. But one of the things that Horst Schulze talked about, he's the founder and COO of Ritz-Carlton. Then he formed the Capella Group. But he talked about vision a lot. He talked about vision. He said, mission is important, but vision is crucial. He understood that a vision for the future is what we all should have ahead of us. We should all have in front of us. We should understand the job, the vision that us and our organization have ahead of us. George Washington had a vision. He knew the job that laid ahead of him. He knew the responsibility. He knew the obligation. He knew the people that he would have to work with to accomplish it. And he knew that he could only do it with God's help and with a love and reliance on the word of God. And that's why I kissed the scriptures. May you and I be the same. Guys, we've got a lot laid out for us. We're part of organizations, we're part of families, and we've got visions for both. I want to encourage you to love the scriptures, rely on them, rely on God for his assistance. Really appreciate you joining us today for the Edge Challenge. Now I want to encourage you, go and be the Edge.